Okay, so I know Rabbi Zemel normally does contemporary halacha in this slot, or sort of. Usually in the opposite slot, that's not the point. So what I want to do is, I want you to help me with something that I've been thinking about. To the best of my knowledge, no one has ever written on this topic. I plan on writing on it at some point in the series I've been writing this year, but I don't know the answer to the question. So here was the question that was posed to me by a former... He was in Gush when I was in the Kollel, whatever. But he asked me many of his shilas. He was the same guy who asked me the Ganesha coaster shila. Okay. So he works in... he's a programmer. He works he works in different things. But one of the things that he's working in is... in a company that, you know, like many of our, you know, many of the apps that we have in our phones, it collects data on us. Okay? Collects data on us. We know that, right? You know how much data is collected on you from Google, from Facebook, from your emails, from Hako Mikolkol. Okay? There is apparently an app in India which, when you sign up for this app, you agree to not only that it'll read the data off your phones, but it'll read the data out of your texts. It's like,
oh, man.
But so he asked about the ethics of such a thing. But here's the shaila that I think no one has quite talked about, and you know, I talked about it with him for a few hours, and I don't know the full answer to the question. Okay, there is a lot written recently on the question of what is the value of privacy in general in halacha, and specifically in the digital age, the age of social media, and the like. And if you look through it, everyone will raise certain prohibitions. Okay, let me throw out the type of prohibitions that they'll talk about. Okay, one prohibition they'll talk about that you have to keep in mind is the isser against breaching confidentiality. Where is the isser against breaching confidentiality come from? So there are several possibilities. The Gemara in Yoma, Dav Dalid, says that if someone tells you a secret, so you are not allowed to tell it to somebody else, it is prohibited. Minayin she omer davar l'chaver shu b'val yomer at sheyomer lo emor. How do you know that if someone tells you something, you have to presume you're not allowed to share it until they tell you you can share it? Right? So the Gemara has a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu himself wasn't allowed to share the mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu had God not said lemor, go and say it. Now the Chavetz Chaim notes that implies that there's a prohibition of breaching confidentiality even with information that's not damaging. Right? Because it's not going to damage God. Right? But the Gemara seems to be deriving that there's a prohibition to breach confidentiality. According to several shitos, it is actually the isser of lashon hara. Lo seilech rachel be'amecha vayikra yotes pesuk tes zayin. Right. So you all know that refers to lashon hara or gossip. That is actually not at all a consensus position in Rishonim. That is the position of the Rambam in the seventh parak of Hilchos Deos. But if you look at Rav Achai Gon in the Shiltos and Shilta Chav Ches, Rav Achai Gon says that what is the prohibition of Tilotelech Rachil is breaching confidentiality, is sharing a secret. Right? That is the Isser Lashon Hara Midaraisa. It doesn't refer to gossip. The Ritva says that min al-shanos ha-mischalfos b'shas. It means both. Lotelech Rachil both prohibits gossip, as understood in the Gemara in Erechin, and confidentiality, breaching confidentiality, which is the simplest implication of the Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Lametes. So there does seem to be a prohibition against breaching confidentiality, and there are many other makaros that support this. Is it daraisa? Is it darabanan? Again, if it comes from Lotelech Rachil, it's daraisa. If it comes from other places, derabanan. Now that's talking about breaching confidentiality and sharing it. What about breaching confidentiality in the sense of breaching someone's privacy? Is that prohibited? So there is a tshuva of Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz that is often quoted in the Halachos Ketanos as saying that yes, right? Because he says, what does the pasuk call Lashon Hara? It doesn't call it Lashon Hara, it calls it Rachil. What's a Rachil? So it's either a peddler, but the way Chazal understand it is Milashon Rogel, which is a spy, right? The Meraglim. And he says, if the prohibition is fundamentally about spying, so you violate it not just when?
Like telling it to other people.
Yeah, not just when you tell it to somebody else, but even if you...
Just breach privacy.
Breach privacy, okay? So there seems to be not just a prohibition of sharing, but even of breaching privacy itself, right? Of invading someone's privacy seems to be prohibited. Again, pinning down exactly how it's usher is a bit complicated. Okay, that's one thing to think about. A second thing that people bring up is Cherem Derabbeinu Gershom. Or possibly Derabbeinu Gershom, it's not clear. This is actually Cherem Derabbeinu Gershom, but it's an early Ashkenazi Cherem against reading other people's mail. Right now, what the poskim divide on is why is there a need for a Cherem? Right? Isn't it already usur? It's usur to breach someone's privacy. So it could be that that's true, that all the Cherem did was added a punishment. That if someone reads someone else's mail, they're put in Cherem. But it was usur before. Now, in addition to the prohibitions I've already mentioned, people bring up other ones, v'haftal recha kamocha, which is a more generic prohibition, obviously, a generic obligation, or gnevas das, right, which is, you know, deception in general. But that's a second axis to think about. A third axis is the sugyas in the first paragraph of Bava Basra introduce what is known as Hezek Re'iyah. What's Hezek Re'iyah? So Hezek Re'iyah is that you can't set up your house in such a way that you can see into somebody else's house, because that prevents them from engaging in their normal life. Now the Gemara has a machlokas to what extent this is true. But the Gemara has a machlokas, is Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek or Lo Shmei Hezek? But the Gemara ends up concluding that the machlokas is only about seeing into someone's courtyard. But if they see into your house, well...
What is Hezek?
Damage.
Oh, okay.
Right, Hezek, right, like Nezek. Right? But the Gemara ends up concluding that the only machlokas is when you're seeing into somebody's courtyard. But if someone managed to see into your house, then it would be usher according to everybody, yeah, right? Because in your courtyard, fine, so you can argue, do you really do private things, do you not do private things, but it's clear that your life would be inhibited if someone could see into your house. Right? And therefore, everyone agrees that that is usher. Right? Plus, there's a chiyuv of tzniut, right, which is may or may not be identical. So this is the deal in the Rishonim over there in Bava Basra.
Everyone has windows or like big screen doors in their house. Isn't it on them to close it?
So it depends, right? If someone builds... that's an interesting question the post can deal with. At what extent is that true? But it depends, right? If you build a house in such a way that... Now, part of it also was that in the time of the Gemara, you couldn't really close the windows because you didn't have lights inside. The way you got light was from
the windows, through
holes in the wall, yeah. Right? So if it, you know, just close it is not fair. Right, you're right that sometimes now houses are near each other, so you close the windows, you close the shades. But the point is that the Gemara has this notion that if you set up your life in such a way that it impinges on other people's ability to function, so then it's usur. It's called Hezek Re'iyah. The exact parameters are unclear, and the post can deal with the question: is this only visual? What about shmia? Right, what if I listen in such a way? Is that going to violate Hazanat Seder, right? Listening to secrets. Is that usur under this rubric? Right? And there are other isurim that can be discussed, okay? So, if you look at a lot of... There's not a lot, but to the extent that there is any modern literature on the halachic questions that arise because of the digital age, this is usually what they talk about, right? Is these prohibitions. But here's the shaila that I'm struggling with, that I don't have a good answer to. So maybe you'll help me think through the issues, okay? My friend asked me is as follows. The assumption of all the literature that exists in the modern period that applies all these classic Isurim to the digital age, there's a fundamental difference that really makes it hard to apply, and that is, can you think about it? I hadn't thought about it enough, but now this is why I'm really... I know no one has written about it.
I guess your data isn't... No, never mind. I guess you gave them permission.
So one technicality is permission, okay? So that's almost... That's something I got to think about, right? One thing I think you got to think about is permission. Because yes, a lot of these things, you know that Google is taking your data. You knew they were going to take your data. And in the case of the app, you mamish... Press it. Now, in law in general, not just in halacha, there is a notion that not everything you agree to did you really agree to. right? That because you might not quite understand what it means they're taking all your data.
Most people, when they do agree with that, they don't really agree.
Right, because first of all, they don't necessarily agree. They also don't necessarily understand what it means.
Yeah.
Right?
Also, it's like buried meaning, down. And it's
right? Because some of the things that people are worried about are that it will, you know, people will text how much money they have in their bank accounts, and it'll be plugged into a system that will then decide whether they will be approved for loans or not.
Right.
People don't realize that could happen. Right? But that's something that, you know, could happen.
Well,
right? You know, ad kedekach, that could happen. Right? Despite the fact, you know, as I said to my friend, it's shocking to me that people haven't realized this yet. They haven't, but it's shocking they haven't realized it. And at some level, yes, you do have to take into account the fact that people accept it, because at some level people know it's happening and they don't care.
Right?
How do I know? So first of all, I know because people continue to use Facebook and continue to use Google, even though they know they get targeted ads, which are based on algorithms that read their data.
So what are they using?
Using algorithms that read their data.
Yeah, but why are people still using it?
Why do you use Google? Do you not use Google? Forget Facebook. Google.
Yeah.
Okay, Google's doing the same thing. Right? Depending on what you search. Right? Depends on what you search. Right? This can cause interesting problems. Right? If you, right, you know, I often have to actively shut down, right, inappropriate ads because, you know, every time I research a Shaila, they come, you know, I help Ora research a Shaila on Nida, right, on Nida, because Ora is a Yoetzet, right, when you keep Googling things that have to do with, like, you know, potential sexual issues, right, the ads they think you want to see are not the ads,
right.
But I see they don't understand, the algorithm aren't smart enough to know that what you're doing is looking up Hilchos Nida. That's not a,
right.
Not a thing. Fine.
That's good.
But I pointed out to him, you know, that it's amazing to me that there is a popular billion-dollar movie. The thesis of the whole idea of which is that your information is out there, it's being exploited, and it's being used against you, which it really is, and people don't care, right? What?
Snowden.
See, there's so many movies, right? Snowden's not a billion-dollar movie,
right?
But I meant a popular movie, right? So, like, my minute kavua on planes is that, like, when I need, like, you know, I'm going to America and I have, like, 10 hours to watch a movie, right? So the Marvel movies are great because they just go forever,
right?
And they're, like, mindless. It's great. But, like, The Winter Soldier, that's literally the theme of it, if you've ever watched it. Right? That's literally the thing. It's one of the Captain America movies where the theme of it is that the world is being taken over by Hydra because everyone's information is up for grabs, and therefore they can, you know, run. But like, they can run world events because of it. But remember, there's a whole discussion about the last presidential election, Cambridge Analytica, right? That the president, right? That literally it may have led to Brexit and the victory of Donald Trump in the presidency. I mean, people know this information is out there and being used, and people keep doing it.
Yeah.
But
how did that work?
Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah. How did?
Because they use these targeted ads to target the type of ad about Donald Trump that would speak to particular demographics based on their Facebook data.
Yeah.
Right, based on those algorithms.
Wow, that's crazy.
Right, meaning it mamish. But here's the question that no one's dealt with, and this is what I'm really struggling with, and I sat mamish with my friend for 2 hours, and I may just end up writing an article raising my sfeikos. I don't think I'm the level of a posek to really be machria. Right? What is fundamentally different about the way people's data and privacy is being breached in such a way that none of the early tshuvot directly address it? Nobody knows. No one ever learns the secret. It's all algorithms.
Right.
Right, there is no person. Right, you look at some of the modern ones, like David Lichtenstein writes an article about this, and he just applies all the, right, puts all these lambdas in, and then he says, okay, this is how it should apply.
Right.
But my friend said to me, well, the real kasha is, does any of this apply when nobody knows? The irony, right, or the irony, the complexity, is that in the modern situation, and this is a very modern question, is that the information is being used against you
without anyone,
but there is no breach of privacy.
Yeah.
Nobody knows, right? Your information is being plugged anonymously into an algorithm, and the algorithm is anonymously shooting out ads or shooting out approval or not of loans.
Right.
But nobody, there is nobody at any stage in the process, or not necessarily, and often not, There's nobody who could point and say, yeah, I know this person's Facebook posts. I know what this person's preferences are. I know this person's bank information and salary. Right? It doesn't happen. Right? The computer, right, the way that it works in metadata, as he told me, is that the information, every person is given a number, right? And it's encrypted so many times that it, theoretically, it can never be accessed. I mean, no one can ever both figure out the person attached to the number and the number that the information is attached to. The way the algorithms are done, theoretically, is that they're meant to be unhackable. Right? Meaning it's made literally the only... There is no person that could ever know. Right? That the computers put together an algorithm to tailor ads for you. Right? So he asked me, right, is there any halachic literature about whether any of these prohibitions apply in a world where there is no privacy, there is no privacy being breached in the sense that no person is learning about your innermost secrets.
Yeah.
Right? Nothing is being told. Everything is going into an algorithm and is being spit back by an algorithm.
Right. Yeah. You could say, I mean, the companies did cause the result of your privacy being breached to happen.
Good. So here, so what would you say? So,
yeah.
It's a conversation. Right?
It's a classic story.
Right? So what would you say? So these are my initial thoughts on it.
Yeah.
You got to think, what is the right? What is the issur about? There's a few possibilities here, right? One is that it's clear that in the context of Lashon Hara, or secrets, that one of the problems, there are many, but one of the problems that the poskim raise is that things are usur, that it's usur to share negative information or breach someone's privacy because it causes damage. The question you have to ask lamdishly is, can it be prohibited to cause the damage based on a breach of confidentiality without confidentiality being breached?
Right.
And that ma'od yesh ladon. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Right? It's hard. Right? It's not clear. And that would be the question you'd have to ask. Right? That's one thing you'd have to think about. Hezek Re'ia and the expansion of Hezek Re'ia might be a good place to go to. Because the svara behind that is that it's usur to do certain things that prevent people from living their lives in a normal way.
Do you think this prevents people from...
So that's the question. If people really internalized the notion that if they send a text about their job, right, it could be plugged into an algorithm that would determine whether or not they get approved for a mortgage, if they really internalized that...
Right, it's going to change their lives.
Right, now, part of it is going to come down to... What do people really? What is really going to prevent people? Because, as he pointed out, the average person, if they knew that was going to happen, they might really think hard about what they emailed from their phone or what they texted.
Right.
But most people are, at this point, fully aware of the fact that ads are targeted to them, and most people don't limit, right? Don't limit what they do.
Yeah. So not most right? people probably even want targeted ads.
Yeah, and a lot of people even want targeted ads.
Yeah.
Right. They even want targeted ads. Right.
Yeah.
Additionally, if you think about the level, even if you think that you could breach confidentiality, you know, one of the things that's clear in breaching confidentiality is that things become mutter if you get permission. Now we said, okay, here, you know, you have to wonder whether there's real permission going on. Meaning, are people really, really, do they understand what they're giving into? Right? The answer is not always, right? And therefore you have to wonder whether that could really apply. But intuitively, my intuition is that people do sort of really understand what they're getting into in terms of advertisements. People may either want it or really don't care, or they don't care enough because they understand that the alternative is to start paying for Facebook and Google, and no one wants to pay. It's not that much money, right? The estimates I've seen are something like you'd have to pay $11 a year for Google to make as much money as they do from selling your data for it not to be worth it for them, right? So for the average person,
that
the fact...
Worth it.
What?
I don't know. I don't even know. I guess $11 a year, yeah.
Right, but the fact is that most people, even if you told, if you posed it to them, would you rather pay $11 a year? I think a lot of people would say, "Nah, you know what? I don't care. I won't pay $11 a year." So let them target ads, right? But those are some of my initial thoughts on it. Right, is that this is in many ways a new halachic area, right? It is a new halachic area because you're dealing with breach of confidentiality that isn't really, right, where the secret is never being, is being used, but is never being breached, right? Right. Privacy is being, right, the content is being used even though no one is ever really finding it, yeah. Right? So again, my initial thoughts are that if you focus on the hezek components of Lashon Hara and breaching confidentiality, then it might be a problem.
Right.
The hezek ri'ia and extended discussions might work, but you really got to ask the question, what types of things will actually prevent people from living their life? Right? Again, it's not clear that the hezek ri'ia applies, but to the extent that it does,
yeah,
it only makes sense if it's going to limit people living their life. Yeah. My intuitive feeling is that most people at this point are not going to limit the types of things that they search or email about just because of targeted ads. On the other hand, what if they knew their information was being used by Cambridge Analytica to shape elections?
Yeah.
Right? There was an uproar about it, right? And the fact that there was an uproar about it and that it made it to Congress, right, means that...
Right, but then no one stopped using Google.
Correct, but they did try to stop Facebook from doing it. So does that, right? And that's going to be one of the interesting questions. The fact that no one stopped using Facebook despite the fact that they could do this, does that indicate they're okay with it? Or the fact that there was a public outcry and there is currently an attempt to prevent Facebook from doing things at that level, is that a gilui milsa that people really aren't okay with it, right? Even if they technically sign off on it, that they don't really mean it, right? That's an umdana, right? You have to wonder about it.
Right. But you could say that, like, it's just... You wouldn't, like, your life would be totally changed if you stopped using Google and Facebook, let's say. So people just,
right, yeah. But right, does that mean that they're really okay with it? Right, yesh lo'dun, it's not totally clear to me that they're really okay with it. But, like I said to this friend, in a certain sense, I think that this particular application of these particular applications of the Shaila are really unique, right, and new.
Yeah.
Because they force you to really try to isolate the key elements of each of these prohibitions and try to apply it in a case where some of what used to be the key elements, namely that someone knew what was going on, don't apply.
Right.
Again, I haven't worked it out at Hasof, right? But these are some of the things that I'm at least thinking about on this. And I think that, you know, now, you know, as he pointed out to me, you know, I said, look, this is not for me to answer. Right, it's like I was like, this is the type of thing that a major posing is to answer, and he told me I'm, you know, really the only person writing on it at the moment.
Yeah.
Right, which I am. It's true. I mean, I'm writing a series on it. No one's really written about it, which is why I think what I'll end up doing is writing an article, at least laying out my svekot. Now, you know, it could be that it'll end up coming down to intuition, right? That it'll come down to what types of things are people really okay with, and what are they not. Right, my guess is that a lot of people at this point have come to terms with the targeted ads and are willing to accept that reality.
Yeah.
And therefore, there really is a haskama, and there isn't hezek ri'ia because they're living their lives normally.
Right.
But at such point that this becomes hydra-like, right?
Exactly, right. Like it'll. Slippery slope, I guess.
Well, that's the danger. But, you know, at such point that it really does affect what, you know, who gets approved for loans and stuff like that, I think people might really start reconsidering the way they live their lives. And then you go back to hezek ri'ia, and then you're talking about real damages. And that might be much more usur. That's my intuition, right? I can't prove it, but those are my initial thoughts on the sugya.
But even if it's usur, it wouldn't be usur to use Google, let's say. It would be usur to...
For them to do it.
Google. Yeah, for them to do it.
Right, and obviously.
But they're not Jewish, so then it wouldn't...
That'd be an interesting question, right? But what would halacha have to say about the ethics of it, right? I mean, you have to figure out, right? Is this right? Meaning, if it's not formally gezel, it may not be under the Shevet Mitzvot.
Yeah.
But you know, see, there's two levels to this. One is it formally yasser, and if so, under what isser, and therefore would apply to Jews, non-Jews. You have to, I mean, yes, Facebook is owned by a Jew, technically, so whatever,
right?
Yeah. The second question would be, as the world is trying to come up with a moral language, right? You know. Correct. Meaning, when it came to, let's say, cloning, the president of the United States created what became known as the President's Council of Bioethics, in which he invited philosophers and priests and rabbis and theologians and whatever to weigh in on the ethical issues. Now, there he's not asking for psak, but he's asking, does halacha or does Judaism have something to say that could influence the way the Western world struggles through these moral conundrums.
Yeah.
In that sense, even if it's not formally usur, right, coming up with a halakhic position might be important because, you know, when things are murky, people really do look to the wisdoms of the world for a little bit of inspiration. So it might be important at that level. It might also be important, and this is less for these issues, it's more for like fake news and stuff. And that was something I mentioned, I think, in passing before, that one that there was a recent article asking the question is, does the fact that Facebook does other things, right, yeah, enables other things, does that mean that there's a Lifnei Iver element of even being part of the whole Facebook world, right? Because it enables the spread of, right? I don't know if this really does it, right? Yeah. And it might, right? Yesh, but yes, Bikaron, the Shaila here, will be on people who own Facebook and the like, or create the algorithms. Now, he was asking me whether he can be involved in projects, right, that are related to such things, right? So it does come up in, you know, it can come up. You, right. If you're a programmer, it can come up. You can be involved in writing the algorithms that do this.
Yeah.
Okay, those are some of my initial thoughts. And, you know, I guess to fill the slot with contemporary halacha, that's, I think, some of the interesting contemporary halacha issues that haven't been dealt with, but I'm at least trying to struggle through.
Cool.